two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, brought to you by the folks at G2G Bars. Preservative-free, amazing protein bar, meal replacement, whatever you're looking for. The taste is magnificent. It's not your normal, way too grainy-tasting, way too chewy protein bar. This is legit stuff here. Proud sponsors of Unrivaled, and they've converted Scott and I on the old G2G Bars. We're going to kick off the hour, as we always do, with the cut. We've got Jeremiah Jensen in studio, so we might as well get right there. Let's go.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by G2G Bars, as I said before. Jeremiah, did you watch any sports this weekend, or is this
welcome?
This,
by the way,
a little bit when I had time.
this guy lives in front of the TVs downstairs, cutting this stuff up.
And it's a tough life. It's a tough job. Someone's got
to
do
we
it.
We still find a way to complain about it, though. Like, I
volunteer my time.
There's some really really fun things that happened this weekend.
Oh,
locals
yeah.
in the NFL.
Awesome.
Utah's big win. BYU's win against Utah State. But the Jazz started a new era with Will Hardy, and I tried my darndest to find the game and just even try to figure out how to watch it, and I couldn't.
Probably better you
and
didn't.
I was actually disappointed. I'm curious what your thoughts and impressions were from the first preseason game with Will Hardy and the Utah Jazz.
I was able to find it. I did watch it. There were some good things in the first half. Lauri Markkanen's a player.
Yeah.
And
27 points, is that what he ended up with? 20 points?
Yeah. He scored 20 points. 17. Lauri had 17 in the first half. And he's continuing the play he had in Eurobasket for Finland.
Well, the Jazz were just down by a point at the half. Yeah. And then things fell apart in the third quarter and then continued in the fourth. They ended up losing by 32. But
what's his ceiling, though? Like for Markkanen? Is he
Lauri's ceiling?
Is he a next Euro guy that could potentially be
Yeah, what's a comp for him?
He's still young. I don't know if there is one. He's unique. He's a 7-footer that can, you know, get out and run. He can play the 3, he can play the 4, he can play the 5. He's very versatile. He can shoot threes. He can post up. He can do a lot of things.
Is he a good defender?
Maybe that's a knock. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, is he a good defender? Time will tell.
I got the vibe that Kelly Olynyk was still kind of deer in the headlights, like having been traded in the night, you know, on Monday, and then shows up Tuesday and was like, this is my new team. Like, to hear that story and how wild it was that he, like, was just, he was working out on Monday on Sunday with the team, gets told, hey, GM wants to meet with you, and then boom, he suddenly is you know, traded to Utah. I would think that transition, even though these guys are pros, it's still a lot to, you know, a lot of whiplash kind of getting going here. So,
oh, imagine if you're working your job and all of a sudden you get back from summer vacation and you're ready to go report to work and someone called you and said, hey, you're being transferred from Salt Lake City
across the country
to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And you've got to get on a plane right now and you got to go figure it out.
So I don't know. Maybe with him, it's one of those things where you go, you just have to jump in.
Well, what's your expectation of Kelly Olynyk this
right.
year?
Right, and what is it long term? I mean, is he
here's my take on preseason game and where the Jazz are at right now. There's no, I have no idea what this franchise is going to look like in 3 weeks, let alone 3 months, 3 years. There's so many unknowns with where this is going. That's kind of exciting, though, right? Like you have no expectations. And it's like in the past when Bogey had a bad game or Donovan was missing a lot of shots, whatever, you'd stress over it so much because this team's got to contend and they got to do this and this and this and this and this. Well, this team doesn't have to do anything.
They just have to develop somebody.
They just have to have a good time and develop and put on a show. Yesterday might be how it goes this season, where they play really good in the first half and one of the guys has an exceptional game, and then all of a sudden the second half, the wheels come off, they can't hit a shot, and they lose. Isn't that kind of how they want this to go?
So not lower expectations, have zero expectations. It's very different.
Well, it is different. It's for people that are really competitive, if you love this team and you live and die by them, watching them lose games is going to be brutal.
Should tickets be discounted for that reason?
Well, who's on the other sideline? That's what'll matter. Should tickets be discounted when they play the Warriors? No. Should tickets be discounted when they play the Lakers? No.
When they play the Pistons?
Maybe.
When do they play Cleveland? They play Cleveland at home? Do we know what that day is?
I think that they do.
I don't want to speculate on the radio. I thought it was November, but I could be wrong.
We were looking at it. So Cleveland Cavaliers, December 19th, they come in.
I was close.
No, at home, January 10th.
The home game's January 10th. Okay, there you go.
So,
there you go.
That one will garner a lot of people.
Rudy's the one that's in November, right?
Yes.
Rudy's coming in November. That's
And I think that those will always, you know, kind of bring that in, and people are going to be there to cheer those guys on. But
yeah. Still the NBA. The other team's going to have great players. There's going to be stars out there.
What do you think? Because when you have these rotations, everybody's looking to see something, some magical combination or whatever.
Yeah.
But also still not anticipating a lot of wins. And so we live in this weird era. Kind of this weird area of being excited about this team, kind of, but
we're gonna have to relearn how to watch the Jazz.
That's an interesting thought.
Right?
Like, so what's the best way to watch them then in this mode?
I think you're just looking to be entertained in some form. You might even be watching the other team and their star players, but ultimately you're just gonna hope for growth. You mentioned it. You hope that one of these guys or two of these guys or three of these guys shows you that they could be a piece for the future. That can help this team later on become great after they get this lottery pick secured.
It's so hard, though, when you get used to a Donovan Mitchell and a Rudy Gobert and Bogey, and you cheer for it. Like, you pull them for them.
Right.
Like, you want them to do well, and then they're not there anymore, and you have no history. You don't know the personnel. You don't know what these guys are all about. You don't know who's going to be around or who's not. And that's a hard thing to kind of get your mind or your heart wrapped around as a fan of the Jazz.
Well, how weird was it for us? Let's take it back 20-something years when John and Carl retire.
Yeah.
Like, that was all we knew.
Right.
Forever.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you wake up one day, it's like, wait a minute. This isn't the Jazz team I recognize. And the team they put out on the floor, he didn't have any recognizable anybody other than Andre Kirilenko.
And you're trying to find the player that's going to be the next Malone or the next Stockton.
You're searching for that.
And they always disappoint you. You know, they're just like, there was no one. You
well,
know,
imagine,
Carl
imagine
Boozler,
being a Chicago Boozler. Bulls fan since Michael Jordan retired.
I know. Like, I actually was a Michael Jordan fan, and I don't, and it's weird because I actually liked watching the Bulls play, and I haven't liked the Bulls since he retired.
Yeah.
Could care less.
They've been irrelevant.
We're gearing up for an interesting weekend of college football here locally because the Utes are going to have their biggest, well, hopefully, I think maybe their biggest challenge so far in conference play. They blew up Oregon State over the weekend, and nice showing by Witt and his guys. Heading down to Pasadena with the 5-0 Bruins. How good is UCLA, though? Because we haven't seen much out of – and by the way, Chip Kelly's never beaten Kyle Whittingham. So that's a there's a thing there. He knows. He knows how tough Kyle is. That's one thing. Chip Kelly will relinquish the fact that, you know, yeah, Kyle is a really, really freaking good coach, and that's a guy who's always beaten up on those guys. And just in the last, I think, those meetings between 2016 and last year, the Utes have never scored fewer than 42 points in a game. And so you go, they have a thing going on with UCLA, but this seems different this year. Why?
The Utes own this team for whatever reason. I don't know what it is, but they've owned this matchup for the last while. This one does feel different because UCLA is actually good. They haven't been good for quite a while. They've been very mediocre, somewhere between mediocre and downright bad. And this is the first year they're in the back in the top 25. They just beat Washington, which was a nice win. To be honest with you guys, I have no idea how good Washington is. I have no idea how good UCLA is. Who has UCLA beat so far this year? We don't know that yet, but the fact is they're in the top 25. They're undefeated. They've got guys that I believe are good players. Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a good quarterback. He's an experienced quarterback. He showed that against Washington. If you watch that game, he did some things that you need a star quarterback to do. The running back is outstanding. Where Utah has the advantage is obviously in the trenches. And UCLA has also got good tight ends as well. So there's weapons that this team has that could hurt Utah, especially if the Utes can't figure out how to stop the run. They've got to do that. But I expect Utah to have no issues at the Rose Bowl. But UCLA does look, for the first time in a while, to be a legit good team, and they have a lot of weapons that could hurt the Utes. They have to take this seriously.
I think in the past where it's the matchup, you know?
Yeah.
Because really USC or UCLA is a team that really wants to run the ball first, and everything plays off of that. And Utah in the past has done such a good job of keeping them one-dimensional, but then scoring a lot of points. And so it's put the quarterbacks, whoever they've been, under a lot of duress and a lot of pressure. And I'm sure that's going to be the game plan, you know, whether they'll be able to execute or not. I don't know. And I don't know how good UCLA is. I really don't. I don't know how. Your same sentiments. I don't know.
How do you gauge this team right now?
It's just really, really hard. And it's hard to gauge people from week to week. What was your impression this last week of the Utah defense and some of the standout players? Clark Phillips had an amazing day. A lot of other players. What was your take on Utah's win against Oregon State?
I'll expand that. Both on defense and offense, I felt like this is the Utah team we've been waiting to see all year. I thought they had a really well-rounded performance. Yeah, it was close there early in the second half, and then the ability that the Utes had to blow this game open was really impressive. They're forcing turnovers, interceptions. The defense was very disruptive, and that's what you need to see from a Utah defense, is causing havoc all the time, forcing fumbles, whether they recover them or not, pass breakups, interceptions, all these things. They had it all in that game. And I'll flip it on the other side with the offense. A couple weeks ago, I came on here. I was pretty tough on Cam Rising. I didn't think he was very good against San Diego State. He's back. Cam Rising looked like 2021 Cam Rising.
Hey, that's what you said.
Yeah. Spreading the ball all over the place.
Yeah.
Getting out there and running on the edge and stiff-arming dudes and playing with that moxie and toughness that we want to see from him. He looked like the alpha dog finally this year against Oregon State. And that, I thought, was the most promising development out of that game as they move forward. They've got to have Cam play like an alpha. And he did against Oregon State. And that defense was very disruptive. That's what they have to be, and that's what they have to do. They weren't able to be that against Florida, and that's why they lost that game.
And it's a great point about Cam. And what it is he's just really decisive. Whatever it is, he's just decisive about it. And when he gets that way, then he gets really accurate. And throwing the ball accurately was like probably the best I've seen him throw at Utah. He was just exceptional.
We were looking at this. We were just chatting about quarterbacks in the NFL real quick here. I just want to ask you. Okay. So,
Geno Smith, Alex, for your Seattle Seahawks, is not a quarterback. Fine. So, you got to terms with that.
Fine. Hey, now. Hey, yeah, he's one of the guys that wrote him off, but he didn't write back.
Hey, here's the deal.
Scott Mitchell wrote him off, but Geno didn't write back.
Well, he wrote me back. Right, it's just in snail mail.
People get grumpy about it, but guess what? Russell Wilson and Geno Smith have won the same amount of games this year. And Geno Smith's actually looked better in those wins than Russell Wilson did.
Will you stop? Let me have this for 1 minute.
Fine.
Just move on. Move on. And we can't get a good beat on this thing. But who would you rather have right now, Cooper Rush or Jimmy Garoppolo leading your team?
Ooh.
Isn't it funny how those guys win games and owners are still like, yeah, but.
On the surface, because we're caught up in this moment right now with Cooper Rush being 3-0 as a starter.
4-0 going back to last year.
It's Jimmy G, and it's not even close.
Oh,
Jimmy
come on.
G's been to a Super Bowl. He was a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl. Last year, he was one play away from going back to the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years.
This is what I'm going to discount
why
him.
Why does he get so much disrespect?
I'm going to discount him.
He's a winner.
I'm going to discount him in a Donald Trump way. Hold on.
Because he doesn't throw sidearm darts like Patrick Mahomes.
No, because he's too good looking.
He's a loser. He's got a Super Bowl. He's a loser. He loses in the Super Bowl. Worst quarterback I've ever seen at the Super Bowl.
That's what you do. You discount a guy for like pretty good accomplishments that are right there for sure. But I mean, like tonight, we're only watching Jimmy G because you know they're playing in the Monday Night game against the Rams, and they're. I just don't know how because they just look at it and they go, "Yeah, this one's not going well for the 49ers." I'm like. Why do they count them? And especially against the Rams. The 49ers, for some reason, and part of it is because they're division rivals, but they just know how to show up in a game against the Rams. They know how to scheme the Rams, man.
They still got a great defense. They still got Debo. And Jimmy G knows how to get it done. I don't understand that the 49ers were going to be worse this year with Trey Lance with the hope that they would get Trey Lance developed and help him become what they need him to become to take the next step. But Jimmy G got him to a Super Bowl, and he got him to an NFC Championship game.
I love it.
2 times in 3 years.
I love having this conversation.
And the Rams are going to have a Super Bowl hangover this year, I'm telling you right now.
Okay, fine. Chase Daniel or Baker Mayfield.
Chase Daniel.
I would love to have Chase Daniel's career, though.
How long has he been cashing checks with a clipboard? Yeah. I'm telling you,
it's amazing.
Scott, you want to get Scott fired up? You bring up the career earnings of Chase Daniel and how many touchdowns he's thrown versus how many millions of dollars.
It's after taxes, $21 million in the bank is what his career is.
And he's thrown seven.
That's not including this year, so he's probably made.
And he's thrown seven career touchdowns.
Yeah. That's Brian Hoyer, who finally gets action. He's like, he breaks this first quarter in play.
Care.
And now who knows how long he's going to be out.
You talk about these different quarterbacks, and the NFL looks at guys differently. So they'll look at a guy like Baker Mayfield. Yeah. That's a starter. Okay, so if Baker Mayfield can't be a starter in the NFL, he's gone. And then
it's so weird.
So they'll look at a guy like Chase Daniel. Well, he's a backup. Like he's never going to be a guy that's going to win a lot of games for you, going to start on a week-to-week basis, but he's a good guy to have around in a short-term situation. And those guys will play – forever. Ryan Fitzpatrick is kind of that journeyman quarterback that's like, okay, we have a pretty decent team. He's the stopgap. He's like a middle reliever in baseball, you know, until we can get to our closer or we get our starting pitcher actually ready, you know, get him up to speed. And yet he has this amazing 17-year career, mostly as a journeyman.
Ty Detmer played 15 years in the NFL.
Same thing, hat on, clipboard in hand. JJ,
I actually went through that. And Jim Fossil was coaching. Jim Fossil was coaching at the Giants, and he goes, "If I bring you in here because we have a history, and I've got Kerry Collins, and you're viewed as a starting quarterback, it will put too much pressure on him, and it will be a negative thing."
And so you didn't go.
So I didn't
you
go to
that
the
opportunity
Giants.
To he go said, play in a Super Bowl.
He goes, I'm just telling you. He says, I'd love to have you. I know who you are, but I know how it is. And
you're a college coach.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just a thing.
Yeah, but you know what? Because I think you had the same opportunity to go to Dallas, right? And they're like, hey, but your agent wouldn't let you be seen as a backup.
As a backup. So
now
I
it's the only thing I want in my life.
I know.
It's a dream come true to become a backup in the NFL.
That's why I've worked so hard.
Yeah. JJ, the big game, of course, for this weekend with the Utes going down to Pasadena.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got BYU going down to Las Vegas. I mean, you can't ask for a better weekend in terms of visibility for these two teams. These are two games that not just here in Utah we're going to be interested
until
in.
Until next week when BYU plays Arkansas
and
Utah plays USC. This is why it's so awesome.
I know. This is a great thing.
Yes, the Notre Dame game, this is big.
The black jerseys rolled out today. Everybody's getting pumped for this one.
That was a great reveal, by the way. Kudos to BYU and their staff for making that. That was incredible.
Yeah.
But this is fun. Anytime, I don't care if Notre Dame's 0-5 or 5-0, you say Notre Dame and it's going to get a reaction and you're going to want to play them. And so BYU is going to get a shot at them in a neutral venue. This is going to be fun. This is one of those matchups you look for. I'm sure a lot of people circled this on their calendar when the schedule came out. I'm looking forward to it. And I think BYU, this is a great opportunity for them because the last 2 weeks they have not played well. Fair enough?
Yeah. Oh, yes. For sure. No, certainly Kalani's saying every time, we still haven't put it all together. We still haven't put it all together. And then they play again, and they still have maybe even got worse in that Utah State game, or at least it'll look like it.
What more motivation does a football team need than to play Notre Dame in an NFL stadium like Allegiant Stadium on a national stage? NBC, right here on KSL. That's going to be such an enormous opportunity for these players. They'll be ready for it. And I think a lot of these issues that they've had the last couple of weeks, they're going to get solved because this team will be motivated like they were against Baylor. It's going to have that same feel to it for them.
Would it have been better for BYU to be in a conference as opposed to going through all of this independence? Knowing where we are now, you don't think it would have been
better? No, not at all. Nope. Unless it was a Power 5, right? So all that they've gone through in independence has helped them prepare them for this moment of joining the Big 12.
Cincinnati kind of was one of those smaller conferences, and they really built quite a program that way. They won their conference. They went.
What's going to happen to Cincinnati next year?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just...
I think that BYU is better prepared for the grind...
Because they've gone through this.
...of the Power 5 than Cincinnati will be. Cincinnati plays, what, one or two Power 5 games a year? BYU's been playing a dozen.
Right, and Houston's the same way. Yeah. UCF's a bit of the same way.
BYU's had the experience of playing more Power 5s than any of those teams combined over the last decade. It's going to prepare them better than the other teams will. BYU will have a better jump as long as they can continue to recruit. Although I do worry about, this is a topic for another day, but BYU's going to lose a lot of players this year, and they're going to be young next year, especially quarterback.
Yes.
So next year could be tough, but they will have a better chance of competing and winning that league sooner than the other three.
JJ, you can see him on TV tonight, right, covering everything. You've got a Monday Night Football game that we're going to be watching and keeping a close eye on. And, man, we didn't even get to all the locals in the NFL. So if you want to go and check that out, you can go on to KSLSports.com.
So much to talk about right now.
So much stuff to get into. And we appreciate you coming in, JJ. Love having you on Monday, man.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.